Hi, this is Dr. Mercola, and welcome to our Take Control of Your Health podcast, in which we bring you the latest cutting-edge interviews to help you achieve optimal health. This next interview is part of my Best Of series, which features some of the most popular interviews with leading health experts. So thank you for listening. Now let's get started with this week's program to help you and your family take control of your health.
Did you ever wonder why you could be eating a healthy whole food diet and still not getting better? Hi, this is Dr. Mercola helping you take control of your health. And today we are joined by a leading expert, a truly innovative novel thinker who can answer that question. And that individual is Dr. Stephen Gundry, who is trained as a cardiothoracic surgeon, doesn't do much of that anymore. He really focuses on treating people naturally. And he actually worked at the National Institutes of Health with a prestigious fellowship there, and was a professor of surgery and pediatrics in cardiothoracic surgery and head of that surgery department at the Loma Linda University School of Medicine in California, which you might recognize as being popular for vegetarian proponents. So he's got quite an interesting background. There's no question. You guys know that I read about 150 books a year. Most of those are health books, and I can read many of these books. The reason I can read so many is I walk for 2 hours a day on the beach. But a lot of these books I can read in under an hour because they're just saying the same old stuff, and you don't have to read it 100 times to know it. But Dr. Gundry's book, which is The Plant Paradox, is not one of those. It's really, truly a resource you need to have and understand in your library if you're at all interested about health. Because my biggest disappointment with the book is that I didn't read it before I published my book. So, because I would have integrated a lot of what he has in there about the lectins and the Plant Paradox and Fat for Fuel, I believe, are the two best books for health books for 2017. So, with all that preface, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. Obviously, I'm a big fan of yours as well, and let me meet you.
Well, great. So, I think we should probably, I'll let you take control here because you're really the expert in this area. But the primary focus of your book, as I understand it, is to really understand the issue that these plant lectins have, these proteins that they make in defense, and that you've been studying for well over a decade and seeing truly profoundly amazing results just from applying these principles. So why don't we start at the beginning, which talks about help people understand what a lectin is.
Yeah, so the easiest way to think about lectins, plants were clearly here first. Even some of my evangelical Christians will give me the fact that plants were here for 48 hours before the rest of us arrived. And they had it really good before animals arrived because nobody wanted to eat them. From an evolutionary standpoint, evolutionary principles apply to all creatures, whether they're animals or plants. And that is that any creature like a plant wants to grow and thrive and wants to propagate, wants to have babies and make sure they grow and thrive. Now, when you didn't have a predator, that was a pretty nice time. But when insects, which were the first predator, arrived about 60 million years after plants established on land, now plants had a problem. They couldn't run, they couldn't hide, they couldn't fight. But as you and I know, plants are incredible chemists. They're in fact alchemists. And so they use chemical warfare or biological warfare to thwart their predators. And they have a number of systems, but the one I focus on in the book, because I think it's easy to understand, are lectins. And I'm saying lectins, L-E-C-T-I-N-S, and not lecithin and not leptin, the Hunza oral. And so these are proteins that plants manufacture, and they're sometimes called sticky proteins because they, in general, seek out certain sugar molecules on the surface of cells to bind to. And I like to think of it as they hack into our communication system or any predator's communication system. And they, for instance, insects, they attack a sugar called sialic acid, which, among other things, sits between the endings of nerves, and one nerve talks to the other nerve by acetylcholine jumping through that space, and sialic acid allows that to happen. And lectins bind to sialic acid and so interrupt nerve transmission. Now, if you think about it, paralyzing an insect is a really great defense system, because if the insect can't move, bingo, you've solved the problem. And one of the things I've learned through the years through my patients is we're just a giant insect to a plant. And what may happen to an insect fairly instantaneously by eating some plant lectins may take years and years and years in us, who are giant insects, to manifest. And it may manifest as neuropathy, may manifest as brain fog, it may manifest as arthritis or heart disease. But the longer I've done this now, the more I'm convinced that almost every disease process that I've come in contact with, we can trace back to, in one way, us interacting inappropriately with plant lectins. So that's a long-winded explanation for how plants don't like us, and they absolutely don't want to be eaten. And they've had 400 million years to work out defense systems. Really long time.
Okay, well, thank you for that preface. And what impressed me most about your book is that our recommendations, for the most part, are really almost identical, which is the only other time I've, at least for food perspectives, I've seen that. Yeah. Is with Dave Asprey's book, Headstrong. Because not many people get it. I mean, they really don't. But the food recommendations are just straight on target. The only difference is the exclusion of these plants that have these lectins. And for the most part, we you know, there's the fat for fuel doesn't really recommend that many. But there's a few that sneak through, like some of the seeds and cucumbers, and certainly nightshade vegetables. So, they're really aligned. And as I said earlier, we're putting a cookbook in the fall for Fat for Fuel, and we're integrating the lectin exclusion component because I think it's so crucial. But, you do such a great job in the book of explaining the relatively complex science and going into great details of that, yet providing a practical strategy, which is a tough assignment to do, to bridge the gap, because usually you make the mistake going too easy or too technical, but you seem to have done a really nice job of integrating both of those together. So I'm wondering maybe if now we can, well, I think one of the observations that seems to be useful is that your plant paradox approach targets the mitochondria and the microbiome, which is really the thrust of getting healthy. And not many physicians, integrative medicine physicians, understand the importance of mitochondrial function, but you certainly do. So why don't you expand on the integration of those two?
Yeah, so one of the things that's interesting to me, my background at Yale was human evolutionary biology back in the dark ages. And I thesis that you could take a great ape, manipulate its environment and its food supply, and predict you arrive at a human being. And I actually defended my thesis successfully. And one of the things that's been fascinating to me is we obviously concentrated on the human genome, but the bacterial microbiome genome is actually far more important. Our microbiome is, I think, our early warning system. And because about 99% of all the genes that make you and me up are actually non-human, they're bacterial, they're viral, they're fungal, I think, and a few others think, that we've actually uploaded most of the information processing about interacting with our environment to our microbiome, because the microbiome is capable of almost instantaneous changing and information processing that we actually don't have the ability to do. And we're beginning to realize, and you've been on the forefront of this, and I like to think that in my little neck of the woods, we're beginning to understand that the microbiome is not only how we interact with plant materials and get information from plant materials and also diffuse plant materials like lectins, but probably more importantly, our microbiome teaches our immune system whether a particular plant compound is a friend or foe, how long we've known that plant compound. There are lectins in everything, but the longer we've interacted with lectins and the longer our microbiome has interacted with them, the more our microbiome kind of tells our immune system, hey guys, it's cool. We've known these guys for 40 million years. Chill out. They're a pain in the neck, but we can handle them. And then from an evolutionary perspective, if you then look at modern foods, say the grains and the beans, which we started interacting with 10,000 years ago, which is a blink of time, our microbiome has never interacted with those sorts of foods. And these are foreign substances. And what I go into the book is fast forward to 500 years ago, all of us in America, despite what Donald Trump